Chapter 5. Does that sound familiar? When Joe said John chapter 5, I thought, oh my. And I'll tell you what is something else. Yesterday evening when Penny and myself and Ray and Kathy all went out, and several others went out to eat with Calvin for the 4th of July yesterday, Ray asked me what I was going to preach on. Well, I didn't give him a title, but I said Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 9. And that's what I planned on preaching on. But Mason and I had talked about some things previously, so I'd been working on this, and on my way home I got to thinking about John chapter 5. So evidently God wants y'all to hear this twice. Because I sat down, and as soon as we got home yesterday evening, I sat down and started rewriting my notes. Because I always write them up, and then I'll have a footnote here, and then I think, man, I can't even follow that, let alone let them follow it. So I redone it. But this is where we'll be at, John chapter 5. But before I read, let me just give you a bit of history. In 1618 and 1619, somewhere around the end of 18, the beginning of 1619, a meeting was held at Dort. It's called the Synod of Dort. I'm not here to defend the Synod of Dort, because the Synod of Dort was a religious and a political meeting as well. It had a lot of political implications in what they were trying to settle at the Synod of Dort. Because as is in many countries still today, religion and government were intertwined, but especially back then. Even the Christian religion. But at this Synod of Dort, it was convened because what some have called the Remonstrants had rejected 5 specific points of the Belgic Confession that was drawn up by the Dutch Reformed Church. They also rejected what was in the Heidelberg Confession. If you read anything about the Heidelberg, Penny looked it up for me this morning on the way up here. The Heidelberg was from Germany. I think the Belgic may have been from France. I'm not for sure about that. If you read anything about these 2 confessions, you'll hear that they are Calvinist confessions. Yet these were written in the 1500s. And people were not generally known as Calvinists until the late 1600s, after the Synod of Dort.
Exactly.
I've said all that to say this. It was not those that held to the truth of the gospel that said, here are 5 things you must believe. The 5 things were merely 5 things among many things of the truth of God's word. These 5 things were pointed out by the Remonstrants, what came to be known as the Arminians, the followers of Jacob Arminius, who was already dead by that time. They said, here's 5 things we disagree with. And they were a part of the Dutch Reformed Church. So the Dutch Reformed Church had the Synod of Dort to settle this question. And basically they did. I figured they had it settled before the Remonstrants showed up. And the reason is because the Scripture is true and has always been true.
Exactly.
The gospel has not changed, needs no refinement, needs none whatsoever. But I say all that to simply point out this. The gospel that we preach is not something new. It's not something new. Most of the people that you will talk to today in our society, and especially in this country, if you talk to them about these 5 points in particular, they will think you have some new doctrine.
Yeah. You're right.
They'll think you must be some kind of weird off-the-wall cult. But it's just not so.
Exactly.
It's just not so. As I said, Mason and I talked. I'm going to go through the 5 points. But not as they are often historically. What's it called, Joe? An acronym where you have the first letter? And not as they're often stated in their acronym form, TULIP. I'm not going to take that order. Now, why am I not going to take that order? I can only suppose that it was the absolute sovereign will of God, because I had no idea Joe was basically going to stop with verse 19 and 20 of John chapter 5. I'm going to begin in John chapter 5 in verse 20. And the fact that for some reason God wants us to hear this truth this morning. I believe that.
Yes, sir.
I don't believe that was coincidence, that my mind got changed last night. And here I am in the same chapter of a 66 book, and following pretty much within one verse, David, right after Joe Galusi and what he said. Here's verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son. And I'm not going to go into this a whole lot during this message. The Father loveth the Son, and He loves Him supremely.
Yes, sir.
There is no love of God apart from God's love for the Son. Anything and everything God loves only in and through the Son. When John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, the only world that God loves is the world in His Son.
That's right.
Because outside of the Son is nothing but the wrath and judgment of God.
That's right.
And that's just a fact of Scripture. For the Father loveth the Son, and sheweth Him all things that Himself doeth. And He will show Him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Notice that statement. In other words, the Father is going to show me greater works than these, that you may marvel. For, that is because, as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whosoever He will. You could read it that way.
Amen.
Whom He will. For the Father judgeth no man. Remember the context here. The context here has nothing to do with damnation. We often think of judgment and condemnation. They sometimes go hand in hand, but sometimes they are not the same thing. Sometimes they mean to make a distinction over, to judge between certain things or concerning certain things. Christ said, for the Father judgeth no man. It doesn't mean that God's not going to be the final authority and judge, does it? No, for the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son.
Amen.
Judgment of what? Judge to give life. That's the context.
Yeah.
Judgment to give life, the determining factor. He makes the determination as to who lives or not.
Yeah.
Or not who dies, but who remains dead.
Yeah.
Because the Father raiseth the dead and quickeneth them. It's not the Father kills the living. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Christ is not talking about physical death here. He's talking about spiritual life here from a spiritually dead state. But the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Father. And they should. All men should.
Amen.
That all men should honor the Father, even as they honor, or other the Son, I'm sorry, even as they honor the Father. But He qualifies to make sure no one thinks, well, all it will take is for me to honor the Son in the way that I honor the Father. It's not what He's talking about. He that honoreth not the Son,
yeah,
honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him.
Amen.
Continue on. Truly, truly, verily, verily. And when he says that for emphasis. That is, everything our Lord said was truth. But in the context of this particular message, when He says, verily, verily, He's saying, pay special attention to what I'm saying. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life. Not gets.
That's right.
Not immediately receives. And I'm not going into this, but you look up the Greek and you look up the tenses of the words. The hath is a preceding to the hearing and the believing. It is in the present active indicative.
Yep. Amen.
He that hears and believes, and these two are the both masculine in gender. That means there then is in the Greek a word association. The hearing and the believing go together. And no one ever believes until they first hear.
That's right. Yep.
And until they first hear the word.
Yep.
And Paul explains that, doesn't he? Romans chapter 10. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth My word and believeth on Him that sent Me hath everlasting life. There's the manifestation of who has life. They hear and they believe.
Amen.
There it is. And shall not come into condemnation. But just to make sure that no one misunderstands, especially if you understood the Greek, but is past.
Amen.
That's perfect active indicative.
Yeah.
He takes it a step further.
Yeah.
But is past from death into life. Truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice. Notice that word. And he even puts emphasis on that first verse, 25, 24, and then this verse.
Yeah.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live.
Amen.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. In what context? In this matter of life to the dead.
Exactly. Yeah.
Not talking about some great white throne in the future yet. Mm-mm. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Don't marvel at this.
Yeah.
Now he's going to give us an example. Don't marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his word. Word? No. His what? His voice.
Amen. That's it.
Something along the line, I may pronounce it incorrectly, but something along the lines of phono. You ever heard of a phonograph?
Yep.
What is a phonograph? That's when you hear the voice of someone else. But you're hearing their what? You're hearing their voice. It's recorded onto a device and played back to you.
Yep.
Don't marvel at this. The hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And they shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation.
Amen.
What I want to begin with is irresistible life.
Amen.
It is the eye in what people call tulip. But I want to take God's grace and now define it, not simply as the word grace, unmerited favor.
Yeah.
But I want to talk about irresistible life.
Amen.
The unmerited, unstoppable, irresistible work of God.
Amen.
Irresistible life.
Amen.
Life. That's the title of my message, Paul. Irresistible life.
Yeah.
I don't mean to denigrate by any means. I believe in irresistible grace. And anyone who's heard me preach for these past 29 years knows that. What I'm saying is, grace is not just some theory or some doctrine.
Exactly.
I don't mean to denigrate. Whoever that person was very enterprising to take them 5 points, to put them in such order and give them such letters as have this acronym before you can remember it, by TULIP.
Yeah.
Nobody knows when that happened. One of the first times I've read, and others who evidently actually studied this, I looked it up on the internet, they said one of the first times it's ever mentioned was like 1904. But the point is not this, not some acronym, not just some 5 doctrines, but the truth. This is who Christ said. This is who I am. I am the giver of life.
Amen.
Isn't that what he's teaching here, Joe? I figure that's what you're going to talk about next week. You can keep on going if you want to. That's fine. Just preach it again to us next week. Let's review briefly. I got to move along. In the Godhead is intrinsic life.
Amen.
Verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, God receives life from no one or no thing.
Amen.
We don't give God life. God's life is not sustained by anything outside of God himself.
Exactly.
For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son. And remember, we're reading this years after our Lord was here, with all of the preaching and teaching that's been piled up for almost 2,000, or a little over 2,000 years now, and we read that, we think the Son of God, God himself manifest in the flesh. But the people, Joe done preached that. He done set up the scene fine. The people Joe was preaching to, or the people Christ was preaching to, all they seen was what? Some Jewish man standing before them. They had no idea this was God Almighty manifest in the flesh.
Amen.
And this man says, the Father, for as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself.
Amen.
In the Godhead is intrinsic life. But another thing we see here is to the Son is given authority to judge as to who receives this life.
Amen.
Verse 27, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also. Judgment what? What's the context? Judgment in this thing of life. If he has life in himself, and men have already been spoken of as being what? Dead.
Yeah.
Then where does life then come from?
Yeah.
Christ.
Amen.
Christ personally.
Yes, sir.
Yes. It will come from his voice.
Amen.
Before his word can ever be even heard or believed.
Amen.
That is the truth of the gospel.
Amen. Yes, sir.
He has that authority and hath given him authority to execute judgment.
Yeah.
To say that one lives, and this one stays where they are. Right? That one lives over here, but this one stays where they are.
That's it.
That one over here lives, but that one over there stays right where they are.
Amen.
That's what our Lord was teaching. And because of this, or not because of this, and this is true, I should say, and this is because the Father had put all preeminence of life in the Son. That's what he just previously said. Look at it. For as the Father, verse 21, raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them. And you're right, Jude, to make the distinction.
Yeah.
For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth. What's that say? Whom he will.
Amen.
Therefore, as our Lord then in the next verse says, all and any honor to the Father must come through the Son.
Amen.
Verse 23. Right? But there's more. I haven't exhausted what Christ said. Now listen to me, and do not. May God be gracious unto each and every one of us here this morning. Do not prejudice your mind against what I'm about to say. Because what I'm about to say is in accord with the truth of the preponderant testimony of this word. And specifically, it is in light of what Christ taught right here in this sermon. And remember who he was preaching this sermon to. He wasn't even preaching these to a bunch of Christians, Mason, but to a bunch of people who wanted him dead. This wasn't something he figured, well, I'll just tell the special ones about this.
Right.
He laid it right out to the very ones who was going to leave right in their deadness.
Exactly.
And he says, it's up to me as to whether you live or not.
Yeah.
And what he's telling them?
Yeah.
That's what he's telling them.
Yeah.
You hate me and you want me dead. He didn't tell them that, but he knew that.
Yes, sir.
And he said, I have the power, the authority given me by the Father to give life to whomever I will. But there's more. Christ irresistibly voices spiritual dead to spiritual life.
Amen.
He does it.
Amen.
He spiritual voices it so. Again, truly, truly, I say unto you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Now let me reiterate, do not, may God help us, do not prejudice our minds against this. Christ is not depending on human will as to whether or not who he gives life to.
That's right.
Because if you had the power to will concerning God, you would already be alive to start with.
Amen.
He says, thy people shall be willing, how? In the day of thy power. So if you're willing, God's already had power over you and on you. Even if you don't understand your willingness like you ought to. Even if your willingness is misplaced at the time and moment, you feel like you're willing. Why? Because it depends not upon your will or my will, but the irresistible voice of the Son of God. His voice. Somebody said, you heard Christ's voice? I sure did. And I have no idea what the language even was, David. But he passed by my dead soul. And he looked upon me polluted in my own blood. And he said unto me, what? Live! And bless God, what happens? You will live. Now I know this is the fact. Because he then illustrates this voice, this irresistible voice, this irresistible phonos. Because it is the same sovereign fiat of voice in which he will resurrect the dead at the end.
Amen.
Now here I'm going to shock most of you, maybe not anybody. But I know this, these things go out, who knows where these tapes go, may not go. And I don't mean to shock anybody. Can I say, may God help you and me. Do not prejudice your mind against this. Even the preaching of the gospel cannot give you life from your dead state.
Amen.
That's how dead we are. That's how dead we are. We're dead, Joe. We're that graveyard dead.
Exactly.
We're dead as dead can be. And not only are we dead, Isaiah, I'm jumping ahead now, we'll look at Isaiah here later, he's another one in points. We are, from the soles of our feet to the top of our head, nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. That includes everything from my will to my affections to my intellect. As Bruce Crabtree pointed out to us. I am completely and absolutely and totally dead.
Exactly.
And it takes the same voice of Jesus Christ to bring me alive out of the spiritual grave as it will take to bring out the dead from the physical grave at the end.
Amen.
The gospel does not give you life. The gospel no more gives you life than the gospel died for your sins.
Exactly.
Now somebody says Christ is the gospel. That's true. But I'm sitting here preaching to you the gospel this morning, coming out of a clay pot so that the glory may all still be of God.
Yes, sir.
But the gospel himself is now seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
This word is the word of life. But it is but this word. The word sits at the right hand of God the Father. The same voice. This is. Are men going to preach the gospel and in the end the resurrection will take place by gospel preaching? Huh? Now am I stretching this? Am I using an illustration I came up with? Christ illustrates it this way. Don't marvel at what I just said to you. Because the hour is coming in which all that are in the grave shall hear his same word, phonos. Not his, up here, verse 24, word, logos. But they must hear the phonos. Christ must directly speak to an individual, life.
Amen.
He must call that dead one into life. Personally and individually. And somebody said, but why don't you preach the gospel? I am preaching the gospel. I'm preaching Jesus Christ. Yes. That he's the Savior.
Amen.
He's the one that does the work. My Father worketh hitherto, And who works? The preacher I'm going to send works? He ain't. That's a work. There is a work there. And don't you ever denigrate that work. And I'm not denigrating that work. But don't you ever attribute to even God's calling of me to preach the gospel as being the voice of the Son of God, because it is not.
Exactly.
It is not.
That's right.
It is His voice that gives life.
Amen.
Life. So it is by that same sovereign fiat of voice in which He will resurrect the physical dead. That is the same sovereign fiat of voice in which He today resurrects the spiritual dead. Four proofs of Scripture. One, this was envisioned by Ezekiel. Ezekiel 37, 1 through 10. I cannot, I don't have time to go through all these verse by verse. Ezekiel sees a valley of dry bones, and they're not just dry bones. He says they're very dry. Now, I would think dry is dry. Don't you think? And that's why when we preach sometimes, we say, well, a man's dead. And then some spiritually dead person will say, well, how dead is he?
That's right.
As dead as you are. You didn't get it.
Exactly.
Scripture says you're dead, but then you want to know how dead you are. That's pretty dead, ain't it?
Dead.
Joe said it. I wish I could just repeat exactly what you said. He told them, I'm the Son of God. They got it, but they didn't get it. They got enough to make him hate it, but they didn't get enough to make him bow down before him as to who he was. And let me tell you, that's the same way it is for even the elect before God Almighty says, life. Live. Live. Ezekiel was preaching. He says, preach to these dry bones. Can they live? What did Ezekiel say? Joe Terrell preached a good message on this down there at Crossville. What did Ezekiel say? Lord God, you know.
Amen.
You know. Oh, yeah, they can. What's he saying?
Yeah.
Lord, if you bring them to life, they will be brought to life.
Yeah.
But if you don't, it don't matter what I do. Yeah. I can't help these folk.
Exactly.
How do we know that? Because he began preaching just like God said to do. And yes, things happened.
Yes, sir.
Bone came to bone.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Sinew grew and fixed the bones together, Joe.
Yeah.
And then muscle began to grow upon the bones. And then flesh covered the bones. And yet, what does Ezekiel see? A bunch of corpses.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, gospel preaching, God in His providence and in His own wise way can use even the mind of a fallen man to bring certain things and bring that person to where they ought to be.
Yeah.
Under the sound of the gospel where they need to be. And they may hear the gospel, and it may affect them. But until God Almighty, that is the wind that came blowing through that valley of dry bones, when that wind came through, then life came into them bones, and they stood up that day a great army. See how all of this works together? I've been accused of putting one part down. Well, you don't believe in the importance of preaching the gospel. No, you just don't get it, and you're trying to beat me half to death because you don't get it. I'm going to tell you, by God's grace, I get it. You know how I get it?
Yeah.
Yeah, this word tells it. Christ taught it. But you know, I've been there.
Exactly.
And the first time I began hearing the preaching of the gospel for months, it rattled my bones.
Yeah.
It made things come together that I didn't even know should be together.
Exactly.
But I still had no life. I hated it just as much, Mason, when my bones came together as when I was laying there with all my bones separate. But all of a sudden something happened, and I didn't know what it was, but I know what it is now. God said, and He breathed into my nostrils the breath of spiritual life, and I lived. And I then I heard real hearing, and I believed. And I couldn't help it. You know why? Because when God says, you will live.
Amen.
You will hear.
Yeah.
And you will believe.
Amen.
And you'll be a part of God's army.
Yes, sir.
And He will start training you.
Yeah.
This was envisioned by Ezekiel. But there's another. It's actually symbolized in the resurrection of Lazarus.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. Lazarus was dead. And his sister knew. This is how dead he was.
Yeah.
He stinks.
Yeah.
By this time, it's been, what was it? Four days?
Days.
I forget that all the time. 4 days. Always think 3 days. 4 days, Lord. By now, he stinks. In other words, Mason, his body is actually starting to corrupt to the extent that the stink is coming off. You know? And I don't need to go there. Christ said, he came to that, Lazarus is in the tomb dead. He says, roll away the stone. Why?
Yeah.
Is that going to get him out of the grave? But if Christ says, roll away the stone, bless God, what do you do?
Roll away the stone.
Amen. The stone rolling away ain't going to bring him to life. But when he does come to life, guess what? He needs to get out of that hole.
Amen. That's right.
Now, he could have brought him to life first and said, roll away the stone. Right? But he's pleased to tell us, you'll go out there and preach and you start rolling away stones. It's up to me as to whether I'm going to call that person to life or not.
Exactly.
It's up to God.
Amen.
He's the one that must say individually and succinctly to each individual person, Lazarus, Walter, David, come forth.
Amen.
And let me tell you, whether the stone's rolled away or not, if he says that to you, guess what? You're going to be alive.
Amen.
You're going to be alive.
Amen.
And here is the greatness of the gospel. He came out of that tomb, bound head and foot,
yep,
in grave clothes. Now you want to talk about the gospel.
Amen.
He said to those men, this is something they did. Loose him and let him go.
Amen.
And it always happens that way.
Yes, sir.
I cannot take credit for the initial impartation of life. But isn't it a privilege to be able to be there and unwrap Lazarus,
yes,
when he's,
sir,
alive?
Amen.
Let me take the grave clothes off. Because could he really live like that? Can you live, Mason, in grave clothes? You can be alive in grave clothes, but you can't live in grave clothes.
There you go.
Loose him and let him go.
Amen.
And there's your, what did you call it, Jesse? Mental block. I'm getting Alzheimer's. Sure as the world. There's some antinomianism. Just let him go. Now, wait a minute, Lazarus. We got to tell you how you need to walk now. If it's a great privilege like this. You think Lazarus didn't recognize what a great privilege he's just been given? Do you think that he didn't know this was the one, that one standing there in front of that tomb? What, you think he didn't? That's the one that brought me to life. Huh? And you guess where he was found? The only time you ever hear about Lazarus again. Sitting and eating with Christ.
Amen.
And people wanted to kill him and Christ both.
That's exactly.
And that's the way it'll be with you. And that's the way it is with you. If he's raised you from the dead, and then sent the gospel to you and unwrapped your grave clothes.
Amen.
The necessity of this irresistible life, this sovereign fiat of voice, the necessity of it was explained by Stephen to those defiant Jews in Acts 7:51. Ye uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist even God. Isn't that what he said? The Holy Ghost. Who's the Holy Ghost?
Yeah.
None other but God himself.
Amen.
The uncircumcised heart and ears do always resist. So what's Stephen saying in metaphorical language?
Yeah.
God has to circumcise your heart and ears.
Amen.
First.
Amen.
So you'll quit resisting.
Exactly.
Because unless he does, you'll always resist. And I've been accused of saying this and not preaching Christ.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? That's what we're doing, is preaching Christ.
Amen.
We're saying, we are merely declaring what he's already declared about himself.
Amen.
The Son has life in himself, and he gives it to whomsoever he will. And when he does, he will sin. Someone to loose him.
Yeah.
Let him go. And this is confirmed by Paul in the Epistle Doctrine. Just two examples of it. 2 Corinthians 4 verses 1 through 7. That the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Lest what?
Yeah.
lest even what?
Yeah.
Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them.
That's right.
And who are these people, these blinded? To them that believe not. That was me at one time.
Yes, sir.
I was blinded, David, even to God's glorious gospel, which God meant for me before the world began. I was blinded to it by the God of this world. But God.
Yeah.
But God.
Amen.
Who calls the light to shine out of darkness hath God personally hath shined in our hearts to give light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You see, when God shines in a blinded heart, then the gospel will have an effect.
Amen.
Then it comes in all of its power and its glory and its might and in the Holy Ghost and not in word only.
Exactly.
And that person will bow to Christ, believe Christ, rejoice in Christ, and they will want to work for Christ.
Yes, sir.
Won't they? Now, if you hate good works, you might as well forget it. You don't know Christ. You missed Him. If you don't want to serve Him, if you'd rather be somewhere else than with His Word, with His people, then you'd rather might as well just be somewhere else.
Oh, yeah. That's it.
Because you don't receive life from this one and then not bow to Him and serve Him. Because that ain't the way it works.
Yeah.
All of creation worships God, from whom all its life flows, whether they know it or not.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
You know that? Every breath I take, where does it come from?
Exactly.
Every breath comes from God, because He can snatch it right now today. Whether it's viral life, whether it's terrestrial life, whether it's celestial life. We think of the sun as being alive, and probably rightfully so. Joe, there's energy and there's power there. There's material and there's substance there, and it's on fire at how many thousands of degrees? Who gave that sun that life? In the beginning, God said.
Amen.
God, by sovereign fiat, by His own phonos, voice,
yes,
said, be.
Amen.
That's the way it works. But even our gospel witness, remember Paul said, we are a savor unto all both sides of men. Why? Why are we a savor unto both sides of men?
Yeah.
We are. Why? Because in this earthen vessel, we have this treasure of the gospel.
Yes, sir.
The message that looses men and lets them go.
That's right.
But in this, I lost my train of thought now. He said, we are savor of what? We are savor of life, the one. We're a savor of life unto, not unto this way, but unto this way.
Yeah.
We're a savor of life unto what? Life.
Amen.
But unto the other, we are savor of what? Death unto what? You see, if a person's still dead, I don't care how much you preach the gospel to them, it ain't going to give them what?
Life.
That's right. Now, God may use that. Don't misunderstand me. God may use that gospel to bring certain things to pass, but until He says live,
yeah,
it's nothing more than death to them.
Exactly.
Nothing more. What good? What's the difference between a valley of dry bones and a dead corpse laying in that valley?
Yeah. Exactly.
You start to smell the stink more.
Yeah. That's it.
And that's what begins to happen when God Almighty starts bringing things. You start to smell the stink more. Hmm?
Yeah.
But you know, we are so dead that God has to make us alive before we even know we were dead.
Yeah. Exactly.
And that's how dead we were.
Yeah.
It's not that I'm dead. I hear the gospel preached. I said, oh, I need to be made alive by that gospel. That's how dead we are. We don't even get that.
You're right.
We can't even comprehend even that. No, He said, we are the savor. To one, we're a savor of life and the life. To those that are living, you preach the gospel to them, you know what they're going to do?
Yeah.
Go drink it.
Amen.
Because they got to have it.
Yeah.
Huh? You preach the gospel to a man or a woman or a boy or a girl, and God Almighty has said by His voice, live, they're going to eat it. They're going to partake of it. Now here's the point. Let me move on. Here's the point. Irresistible, initial, spiritual life comes from Christ directly at His will.
Amen.
But it is not an end in itself.
No.
And I think that's where many just kind of, they think, well, as long as I got life, that's it. I got life. No, God gives life.
Yeah.
My two daughters, they had life, Mary, even when they were in the womb of their mother. But would you want to stay there forever? How could you live life there?
Inside.
You don't even recognize yourself as existent there. How many of you can say you did? Go ahead and lie right now. Most of us didn't even recognize that life until probably a few years after. At least we have no conscious recollection of it, do we? But does that mean I wasn't alive even when I was in my mother's womb? This is what Christ said, except a man be born from above. Now this is what He said. Born again, born from above, he can't even what? See. But He says also, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he can't what? Enter.
Amen.
So there must first be sight given.
Yeah.
Because if you're going to enter something, you got to see where you're going.
That's right.
But you also don't just see it. You actually enter into it.
Amen.
So here, irresistible, initial spiritual life comes from Christ directly as His will, but it's not an end in Himself. The voice of Christ must first be that is irresistible life, that we may hear and believe the gospel that is sustaining life. And there is life in the gospel, but only to the living.
Amen.
Just like there's life in water, but only to who? Feed a dead man. Pour it down a dead man's gullet all day long. Guess what?
Yeah.
It just will fill up and run over to no avail.
Exactly.
Probably make the bugs start crawling out. The gospel of this. The gospel is bread.
Yes.
The gospel is water.
Yes.
The gospel is food. And the living cannot help but feed on it.
Amen.
And if you'd rather feed on something else, what's that proof? What's that prove? You're not alive. But if you've got a hunger and a thirst for this, bless God, guess what?
Amen.
His voice has said to you, live.
Amen.
And I tell you what, it wasn't but just a little while Christ said this very thing. Look at it, John 6, verse 53. And I've got to move. Then Jesus said unto them, truly, truly. Here's another one. Pay attention specifically here.
Yes, sir.
Truly, truly, I say unto you, except ye eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, what? You get no life. Is that what He said?
Yes, sir.
No, you have no life.
Amen.
The proof of who has life is where? In who is hungry and thirsty.
Amen.
Who partakes of Christ? I've got to have Him. He means more to me than anything else. Look at it. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath.
Amen.
Not gets, not immediately receives, but hath. And you can't eat and drink until you've heard.
That's right.
Can you?
Yeah.
But hath eternal life. Look, and I will raise him up at the last day. Why? Look, for my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And where do we partake of that? It can only be in the gospel. I am not a papist.
Exactly.
I cannot change that wine and that bread that we have and turn it into Christ's body where you can partake of it. I can't even make it close. The only place we can eat His flesh and drink His blood is in believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Listen, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. And you go look up the tense of these. You know, it's so amazing how this is not just a textbook to teach men. No. This is not a textbook to instruct men and women into the kingdom of God. You've got to be born into the kingdom of God.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
And sometimes even the translation, I believe God left it just vague enough to even keep some men blinded. Scripture says it's the glory of God to conceal a thing.
Yes, sir.
But a person who's hungry, guess what, Joe? They will dig till they find the food. Even if and in spite of my inabilities to adequately present this gospel as it ought to be presented, yet Mason, what does God do? Feed his people through it, don't he? Even when I make mistakes, still feeds his people. Why? Because in him, that person dwelleth in me and I in him. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father. Now think about that statement. Did he come alive by the Father? He is eternal life.
Exactly.
He didn't come alive by the Father. What? His life, even as a man, was what? Sustained by God. He's not talking about the initial impartation of life, but that sustaining, ongoing life.
Yes, sir.
As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall what? Live by me.
Amen.
This is just the truth of the Scripture. This is what Christ taught. Only the dead, who are made alive by Christ's voice, then feed upon the Word of God and live. See, I got no problem. A lot of men say, well, you hear the gospel and you live. I believe that. Got no problem with that. But it's much more than just that. You got to be alive before you're ever going to live by the gospel.
That's right.
Now, here are four manifestations. Unique to irresistible life and universal to all with irresistible life. And I'm not preaching down at you. When I read these, when I seen these things, when I just seen them from Scripture, I had to say within myself, are these four things true of me or not? The living submit to Christ himself as salvation. Simeon was told, you are not going to die until you see my salvation. And he was allowed to go to the front of the synagogue and confess that the Messiah was coming and repented of his sins and believed on the Messiah. Is that how he seen God's salvation? What did he do? He was at the temple one day, and a couple came by with a young child ready to be circumcised, and he picked that child up in his arms and says, God, now you can let me depart. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. My salvation is not in what I'm doing to you this morning or what in Joe did to us this morning.
That's right.
My salvation is seated at the right hand of God the Father.
Amen.
My salvation is a flesh and blood, flesh and bone person. Person.
Amen.
And I've seen him how? By faith. That's one of the first things. You look to the gospel message being preached as your salvation. What happens if you lose your ears?
Exactly.
What happens if you lose your sight?
Yeah.
What happens if you lose your mind?
Yeah.
Huh?
That's it.
What happens if you go off the deep end and you end up totally bonkers?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Your salvation. Hold him up in your arms, David. Hold him up in your arms. Bow to him as he is on the throne and say, Lord, mine eyes have seen thy salvation.
Amen.
I know. This is not boasting. I know this by God's word. I know God showed me that.
Yes, sir.
I know Christ himself personally is my salvation. But here's another one. The living, this is the second one of the four. The living submit to Christ's will as the determining factor in all things.
Amen.
That leper said, on all things. Somebody said, well, that this leper was healed of leprosy. He was healed because he believed Christ.
Sir.
Wasn't he? He came to Christ, didn't he? And faith, there's not different. There's not a faith for physical healing and then a faith for spiritual healing.
No.
Faith, period, is the fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
There's only one. There's one Lord, one what? One faith.
Amen.
But what did that leper say? Lord, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. I want to be clean.
Amen.
I need to be clean.
Yeah.
I hurt. I'm sick.
Yep.
I stink.
Oh, yeah.
I need it. I want it. But that's not the question.
Exactly.
It's, Lord, will you do it for me or not?
Yeah.
He knew that. He knew that.
Yeah.
And didn't even have his own personal Bible, I figure.
That's exactly right.
Did he?
Yeah.
He didn't even have the New Testament. But he knew what? I'm going to play living. If the Son of God would pray, Lord, not my will, and his will was in perfect accord with the Father's, and if even he prays, Lord, not my will, but thine be done,
yeah,
how much more should I be saying, Lord, if you will?
Amen. That's it.
Place it in your own hands if you will. Guess where you end up at?
Yeah.
The living submit to Christ's will as the determining fact in all. If the Lord will, we what? Live.
Amen.
And move. And have our being. I used to say it all the time. Well, if I'll do this tomorrow if the Lord will. That ain't enough. If the Lord will, we will live. He may kill me today.
Yes, sir.
Thirdly. I'll tell you, I know this. I know Jesus Christ personally is God's salvation.
Amen.
He said, I have seen thy salvation.
Yes.
That's the question. You might not be so sure all the time that he's your salvation.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Sometimes you might doubt as to whether or not he's your personal Savior.
Yeah.
But there's one thing I don't doubt, Joe.
Yeah.
I know he is God's salvation.
Yeah.
And it's the only salvation there is.
Yeah.
And I know this, his will means more than anything. God, not my will. God, take my will from me.
Yeah.
Keep me from doing my will.
Yes, sir.
I know those two things, but here's the third one. The living submit to Christ's truth about themselves.
Yeah.
You remember the Syrophoenician woman? And she come begging for help, not even for herself,
yeah,
but for someone else. Lord, help my child. And it says first he ignored her.
Yeah.
It says he answered her not a word. It didn't say he didn't hear her, Mason. It said he answered her not a word. What's that mean? You know what that means. He ignored her.
Yes, sir.
And God sometimes does that. No. God does that.
Yeah.
Even to his own. To do what?
Yeah.
Make you want him even more. And you know what she said? She cried out even more.
That's right.
Lord, help me. And then he turned around and basically said, it ain't right for me to help you.
That's right.
Because you ain't nothing but a Gentile dog. It is not meet. It's not proper.
Yeah.
I guess our Lord had never read Romans 11, though, had he? She was grafted into Israel. We are. But what did he still tell her? You're a dog.
Yeah.
And it ain't meet for me to take the children's bread and give it to dogs. And what did she say?
Yeah.
That next word. Truth, Lord.
Yeah.
I'm a dog. But she said, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've been there. And I am there.
Yeah.
I know that. Number four. The living submit to Christ's commands.
Amen.
And I know I got to add this on because as soon as I say that, somebody, and what I'm about to say, oh, well, you mean this. No, I'm not. Let me tell you what I'm not meaning. I don't mean we're going to be perfect. But let me tell you this. The living submit to Christ's commands. Saul of Tarsus was on his way to have Christians killed.
Yes, sir.
Just put it down to what it is, right?
Yeah.
Taken into prison, yes. But David have them killed. And God Almighty struck him down right in the midst of his hatred for Christ.
Yeah.
Did he not? Right in the midst of it.
Yes, sir.
And what did he say? What did Saul of Tarsus say? Lord,
yeah,
what will you have me to do?
Amen.
I have to ask myself this question. do I do because I know he's Lord and I want to do? Or do I do because I think I got to? Or he'll be mean to me.
Yeah.
He'll judge me. Scary point right there, ain't it?
Yes, sir.
But therein is the difference between the dead and the living.
Yeah.
The living say, Lord, what will you have me to do? And you know what?
Yeah.
He basically told him, go down there and wait.
Yep, exactly.
You see, I know religion says, come on, do it and get it and do it now. I'm saying, run to Christ. Flee to him. I don't care what you are. And then just wait on him.
Sir.
Don't wait to flee to Christ. No! But flee to Christ and then just wait.
Yeah.
He'll send somebody to you.
Oh, yeah.
Or he'll send this thing to you. Yeah. Or he'll send that circumstance to you. And he will bring you to where you need to be.
Yes, sir.
Uh-huh. That's what it's all about. Let me end with this. Christ is. Hear what I said. Don't prejudice your mind against it. Christ is irresistible life.
Amen.
He is.
Amen.
Because he's life intrinsic. You can't stop his life.
Amen.
They tried to physically.
Oh, yeah.
For months. Couldn't do it. Why? Because the time wasn't come.
Amen.
And then it says of him, he gave up the ghost. They didn't take it from him.
No.
Yeah, we murdered the Son of God.
Yeah.
But he gave up the ghost.
Amen.
He said, I lay my life down.
Amen.
I take it up again.
Amen.
No man taketh it from me.
Amen.
Why? He is personally irresistible life.
Amen.
But he also gives personally irresistible life.
Amen.
It's not dependent upon us. It's dependent upon him. But when he gives this irresistible life, guess what? You will begin to feed upon him who is and gives irresistible life. Father, teach us these things, not just by thy word, Lord, definitely through thy word. That's our only place of that which is sure. Teach us, but not only through thy word, but by experience, Lord. May these things be real to us. Not just something we've learned academically or that we give mental assent to, but Lord, bow us down in the dust before thee at the feet of Jesus Christ. I ask it in his name. Amen.